This is Cruise Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Everything you need to know about new and used cars. Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air. Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Because you're on Cruise Control. Cruise Control.
And hello out there in radio land. How's that for an old phrase? Welcome to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. Les Jackson here, Fred Staub in the passenger seat of the van. We are smiling because the sun's out. Mm-hmm. Today's the first day of spring, isn't it?
Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay, and it is officially, anyway, it doesn't matter because, you know, it's looking nice.
Yeah, it sure is.
And people are out in their cars. I saw a bunch of this morning just going by. I saw a couple classic cars. Saw a Corvair.
Wow!
And it wasn't smoking.
Yeah, you know the weather's changing when you know it gets out there and people are starting to drive. You know,
absolutely.
Spring has sprung. Yeah, but
yep. And. But we have lots of news about new automobiles and the industry.
We sure do, Les. And we're going to start with one right here in the USA. Mercedes is set to build one of its most expensive vehicles ever right here in USA. So that's pretty cool.
Man, that is cool. That's very cool. And Ford and GM start to reveal their electric vehicle plans. And expand their factories. Yes, I said expand their factories.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And second editions. Two vehicles with low sales numbers get a second chance. They're going to continue on and get new versions. So we'll tell you about both of them. Maybe it's one you're interested in, Les.
Wow. Does this mean there's another chance for Saab to come back?
And the Pontiac Aztec, they're bringing back. With a new tent attachment for the back of the car.
Speaking of a sudden fear, who's afraid of self-driving vehicles? Well, apparently, a lot of people, according to a new AAA study.
Yeah, it looks like that, and we'll talk about that. Plus, we'll have crash tests for popular full-size pickups. Really cool info if you are thinking about buying a full-size pickup, right?
Absolutely, which are getting incredibly popular everywhere. And then we're going to talk a little later with Tire Tech. It's going to be Michelin's Tom Carter. He will be on the air with us, how do modern safety systems depend on tires, and what do you do when you have a flat on one tire of your all-wheel drive vehicle. And also, he's going to tell us, what does 3PMSF mean?
Yeah, something you should be looking for. So all that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio. Les, I'm putting you on the spot. Do you have a trivia contest question? If not, we'll get one after the break, because we got a cool 50th anniversary Hot Wheels car to give away. Kind of celebrating the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. But we'll do that when we come back. Les is firing up mechanical computer. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio. Check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com. We can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com. You've got a great
car. Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine, home of Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Cruising in the Cruise Control van. We're glad you're along for the ride. Les has, he spun up the mechanical computer. It's a giant flywheel on it. He just keeps turning it till it starts. And he's come up with a trivia contest question. The prize is 50th anniversary Camaro in orange with stripes. I should say Hot Wheels version. We're not giving away.
That's yeah. Right. Not a real car.
Yeah, but it's cool to have. It's certainly cool to have. And we're celebrating the Legends Tour, the Hot Wheels Legends Tour, where they are going around the country. They're going to pick a car at one of, I believe, 15 events, and then they take them all to SEMA. They select one. The winner gets to be built as a Hot Wheels car. So it's the Hot Wheels Legends Tour. So we're celebrating a little bit of that and their 50th anniversary. But Les, what do you got?
Okay, well, Mazda was famous for rotary engines for many years. What was their last rotary engine car? Was it the RX-7, the RX-8, or the Millennia?
Okay, and we will repeat that trivia contest for you, but it's multiple choice. All you have to do is give us a call, toll-free at 844-320-4299. That's 844-320-4299. 844-320-4299. And you can win yourself that Hot Wheels edition of the orange Camaro with the black flames. Always a nice combination. Stands out. But our first story, Les, is about Mercedes. They announced this week that they are going to start building the Maybach GLS, i.e. the Maybach CUV.
Yes, big SUV with huge tires, wheels.
They look like the intake to a jet engine, don't they?
They do. I mean, they seem really quite, to me, out of proportion to the car. But
It looks like a raised sedan. It looks like an all-wheel drive sedan. It does not look like your traditional SUV
right.
with the kind of station wagon, dare I say it, back on there. This is going to be the most expensive car ever built in the U.S., priced at about $200,000. What's interesting is it is really destined mostly for the Chinese market. And the back seat is super luxurious because in China, I guess you have a chauffeur to drive these things. And that's basically who it's built for. It's going to have a super powerful V8 and is going to surpass the Bentley Bentayga. Yeah.
Right.
So this is going to be their competition, Maybach's competition to that. The ultra-luxury SUV market should grow, they say, by 2023 from about 7,500 sales a year last year to about 20,000 by 2023. So they're going to build this in Alabama and a super powerful 560 horsepower V8. Super luxurious on the inside. Pretty interesting. Probably most will go to China.
Probably so. There will be, Mercedes even says that the U.S. market will be, the super successful hip hoppers and Kardashians and the people that, are out there to be flamboyant and show off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly very well-to-do, extremely well-to-do, older business executives.
Wow. Well, there you go. What color are you going to build yours in, Les?
I was thinking of chartreuse.
Ah, that would be interesting. Hey, why don't you repeat that trivia contest question once more before the break? Let's see if we can light up those phones.
All righty. Well, Mazda really got its start in cars, making rotary engine cars. They no longer make rotary engine, but we want to know what was the last one that they sold just a few years back. Was it the RX-7, RX-8, or the Millennia?
Okay, multiple choice question. All play 844-320-4299. 844-320-4299, 844-320-4299. Win yourselves a Hot Wheels Camaro in bright hugger orange with black stripes. 844-320-4299. The number to dial right here at Cruise Control Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about Ford and GM starting to reveal their electric vehicle plans and expand their factories. Yes, you heard me right. Expand. So check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. All there, cruisecontrolradio.com. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. We'll be right back. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CruiseControlRad. Cruise Control Rad. You got a
great car. Cruise Control. And welcome back to Cruise Control. Les and Fred are rolling. We are, everyone is waving at us. Actually, no, they're waving us away, but that's all right. Granted, the van is not attractive.
No, it is not really even functional, but that's okay.
No, that's true. But let me throw that trivia question out there.
Okay, sounds good.
We can warm up the phones. We want to know, what was the last rotary engine car that Mazda sold on the market? Was it the RX-7, the RX-8, or the Millennia?
Okay, if you know that and want to give it a try, dial our toll-free number. That's 844-320-4299. 844-320-4299. Give that a dial right now, and you could win yourself a Hot Wheels Camaro. Pretty cool stuff. 844-320-4299. The number to dial right here at Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. You know, you and I have been talking about both GM and Ford, talking a lot about their electric plans, but we haven't really seen that much, have we?
No, we keep saying, how come we haven't seen very much or anything?
Yeah, and they're talking, both of them are talking about 20 to 23 new electric vehicles in the next couple of years. Well, the plans are just starting to come out now. Ford announcing that it's going to have an electric Mustang, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. And they're talking about ways that they will do this. I think one of the ways they're going to do this is work with VW, don't you?
Yeah. VW certainly is kind of running the show these days.
When it comes to electrics. Yeah. Yeah. Mass market electrics. But they have announced this week that they will invest more than $850 million through 2023 in its Flat Rock, Michigan assembly plant, and they're going to turn it into its second battery electric factory in North America. Its other factory is in Mexico. A second shift will be added, and 900 jobs will be created. Both the Mustang and the Lincoln Continental are currently built at Flat Rock, so there's a lot of talk that there will certainly be a hybrid Mustang. Maybe there'll be an electric Mustang-based crossover. That's what people are talking about, which I think would be pretty exciting. I think people would go for it. What do you think?
I think so, too. You know, electrics are really finally getting an awful lot of attention. It is the future.
Mm-hmm.
Every car company knows that, and this is good news. It's jobs, it's technology, it's fun to drive. I feel bad for people that haven't driven an electric car. They don't realize how much fun they are.
Yeah, they certainly are. They certainly are. Now, over at GM announced this week that they will produce a new electric vehicle in Michigan. They're going to add 400 jobs and invest $1.8 billion and add 700 new manufacturing jobs in six states. And they say this is going to be based off the Chevy Bolt, which I would say they're probably going to do a crossover based off the Bolt. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they have to. The Bolt, all of that development money went into it. It's a good car. It's been well received.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? It's a platform that they can just keep expanding.
And once again, they're saying 20 new battery or fuel cell vehicles built globally by 2023. Globally is the key word here, because that could mean many are going to Europe, which is a little bit ahead of us in the electric car game. But I'm glad they're at least leveraging their Bolt EV into another vehicle, and that's pretty good news. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Got a trivia question out there about Mazdas, right, Les?
We do. We want to know, what was the last rotary engine Mazda that you that was offered for sale in the U.S.? Was it the RX-7, the RX-8, or the Millennia?
Okay, if you know that, want to win yourself a Hot Wheels Camaro, give us a call at 844-320-4299. That is 844-320-4299. The cruise control hotline there for cool stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Mm. All right. So let's talk about second chances here when it comes to models. There was a lot of speculation that Toyota's Model 86, doesn't sound like Get Smart Agent 86?
Well, that's, yeah, actually it's two things that... that sort of disturbed me. There's an old expression, to throw something away as you 86 it.
Right.
Which is not the case. Also, I don't like the number. It takes away from the identity of the car. I think the Subaru, the Toyota FCS,
mm-hmm.
Was what it used to be called, which is also built as the Subaru BRZ.
Right.
At least it says something.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, though, it's a great car, cool rear drive car. We always thought it would be a great sporty first car for people. But it is going to continue on, according to Matt Harrison, who spoke with Autocar. They say it is a successful halo product and will continue on and will have a new version coming out fairly soon. So that's actually good news, because I do think it's a neat car. While the name, the current name is not that great, I do think it's a great car. Now, another great car that is probably one of the cheapest electric cars you can buy is the Fiat 500e. And, you know, you and I have talked about, will the Fiat brand survive? Sales are way down. And there was a lot of speculation that they wouldn't even do a new 500e, because that was what they call a compliance car, Les. And a compliance car basically lost money for them. And you can buy these things for $7,000 to $9,000. Dollars with, I don't know, 10,000 miles on them. And they get about 92 miles in range, but a good little car. So there's going to be a new generation of those at the 2020 Geneva Auto Show. And it was kind of a surprise that it will be coming, and most likely coming to the U.S., right?
Yeah, actually, I have to say that is a surprise.
Hmm. So
We don't really see much of a Fiat market here.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I do see them all over the place, but they're not really selling well.
No. The other thing I found by doing some research is there are a lot of wrecked ones out there for like $1,000. Imagine you take that drivetrain and put it in something else. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool. I wonder if it's possible, like they do with the Priuses, to get wrecked parts and make range extenders.
I think it probably is, and I'm thinking about putting it in classic cars. You mentioned a Corvair. Yeah. Imagine that.
I just love the idea.
So That's building. That's his next project there. So you're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Coming up real soon, we are going to talk with Tom Carter from Michelin. He's going to tell us some interesting tire news. You know, you and I have been talking about a lot of technology, safety technology. Well, how do tires play into that? You know, when it comes to things like adaptive cruise control and automatic braking, they're going to play a pretty big role for that. And Tom's going to tell us about that, plus special situations with an all-wheel drive vehicle. And he's going to clear up the mystery, Les, of what does 3PMSF stand for. So all that and more when we come back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Stay tuned. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are glad you're along for the ride. You know, tires, we don't talk about them enough here on Cruise Control Radio, and we wanted to do that, so we have Tom Carter on the line from Michelin. Tom is going to clear up some interesting situations, I guess, that have come up now that we have a lot of these safety systems, additional safety systems in the vehicles and automatic braking and things like that. A lot more vehicles are all-wheel drive. We figured it was time to clear some of these things up. Tom Carter, welcome to Cruise Control Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you. Doing great. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, you know, you brought up a good point. We were talking a little earlier this week, and Les and I talk about all of these safety systems that are out there now, you know, especially the automatic braking, or sometimes it's called crash mitigation. It's called a bunch of things. How do tires weigh into that?
That's a good question, because they weigh in very heavily, because we always say brakes stop your wheels, but the tires stop your car.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing automatic braking, of course, what's happening is your car is sensing something, an obstacle, probably a car in front of you. And as you said, crash mitigation, because the manufacturers cannot guarantee that they're going to fully stop your car before you hit something.
Right.
But they will apply the brakes for you automatically, but those brakes won't stop your car.
No.
What will stop your car are the tires.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to stop in time, you really need to have good tires in good condition. People pay a lot of money for these safety systems, and I think they should. A Consumer Reports ranks automatic emergency braking as the most important safety breakthrough in the last 10 years. And I think for the most part, these safety systems are well worth the money, but they're not cheap. And so you shouldn't compromise these systems by having a set of bad tires on your vehicle. You really need a good set of tires so that they will work well with these automatic emergency braking systems, for example.
And you know, Tom, you're absolutely correct. We constantly tell our listeners and in other things when we're maybe giving a talk to some group that, you know, it's the tires that are keeping you alive when you're going into a turn. It's not your driving. It's just that little contact patch on four tires that's holding the road as you make turns, especially tight turns. Of course, braking, as you already mentioned. And tire pressure is important, you know, tread life and all of that. And how do you, what's the best way to tell a consumer or to get a consumer to pay more attention to their tires?
You know, the automatic, the TPMS, the tire pressure monitoring systems have helped. So when that light goes on, you shouldn't ignore it. You should check the pressure in your tires. Of course, we say you should check the pressure in tires once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are not going to do that. But if you do monitor your TPMS, then that's a good first start. The other thing that I highly recommend, as the temperatures change, so as it gets colder, of course, the air in your tire contracts, and so you need to add more air so that you have proper pressure. But then as we move into the warmer weather, like we're starting to do now, it's even more important to have the proper pressure, because the underinflated tire is going to flex quite a bit, and it's going to heat up and possibly fail.
Mm-hmm.
So as you change seasons, that's a really good time to check the air pressure to make sure everything's set correctly.
As I believe...
It's also good...
Go ahead. As we're changing right now, I believe this is this the first day of spring? We were trying to figure that out. But it's a good time to check your tires.
I think we're a couple days off the first day of spring, but the temperatures are really going to change here.
Yeah.
You know, and one other thing, Tom, that you were just talking about, the importance of the condition of your tires. We have, on the East Coast, we have... this year, you're hearing it everywhere, we have a pothole disaster.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just, they can't keep up with them. It's so bad this year. And what should people do? You know, we try to steer away from potholes, but it doesn't work.
Sometimes you can't avoid them at night or something.
You know, what should you do after you've stopped and parked, after you've hit one of these holes, where the whole car just shakes tremendously when you hit it, and you go, oh, man, I hope I didn't blow a tire?
Yeah, the thing you really need to do is for yourself, inspect the tire. If there are any bulges on the outside of the tire, that's not a good situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is you strike a pothole, and your tire will compress, and it'll actually smush against the rim. Sometimes you can damage the rim.
Right.
And it will break cords in that tire.
Mm.
Now, in the worst case, it'll blow it out. But in other cases, it'll break some of those cords, and there'll be a bulge on your tire. And when you have that bulge, that's just a tire failure waiting to happen.
Sure.
So, you know, of course, the professional thing is, anytime you have any doubt, have it inspected by a certified professional. That may not always be available to you right away, but if you hit a pothole, it's a good idea to look at the sidewall of your tire and see if you have any bulges or see if you have any damage. And if you do, it's likely that you need to replace that tire.
Yeah, nothing good's going to happen from there, it sounds like.
No.
Now, the other interesting point, too, is that there's a lot more, with everyone wanting SUVs and big trucks, there's a lot more all-wheel drive vehicles out there on the road. And what do you do when you get a flat on just one tire of an all-wheel drive vehicle?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the first thing is, you have to follow the recommendation of the manufacturer. So whether it's Subaru that makes a lot of all-wheel drives, as we know, but everybody's moving to all-wheel drive, GM, Ford, you know, Toyota, Lexus, BMW, they all have their all-wheel drive systems. So if they say that you have to replace all four tires, then in fact, I don't think there's any way around that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to replace all four tires, which is very disconcerting.
Yeah.
Now, because you could have three quarters of the life of the tire, of the other three tires. And the reason they say that is because there are two differentials. There's a rear differential, and there's a differential between the front tires and the rear tires.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot have those turning at different rotation rates as you drive, because if you do, you'll burn those differentials out.
Now,
or likely to.
So, Tom, just to clarify, what you're saying is, let's say you get a flat on one of your tires in an all-wheel drive vehicle, or the tire's destroyed somehow, and you're saying if they don't sell that exact tire again? Like, in other words, if that model's no longer available, you have to replace all the tires?
That's correct. So the first thing is you need to follow what their recommendation is, mm-hmm. but you need to replace the tire with the exact same brand and model.
Gotcha.
And the reason for that is because that the rotational rate of that tire will be the same, and then you will not damage any of the all-wheel drive system.
Right. Could be it's expensive for the tires, but it could be even more expensive if you have to replace transfer cases and front or rear differentials or who knows what. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, certain manufacturers will tell you that it's okay to replace tires in pairs. So let's say you mess up your front right tire and you can't find the exact model, so you match as closely as possible. Certain manufacturers, for example, I know that BMW says this, they say, okay, you can replace the two front tires, in other words, in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an option for some manufacturers as well.
Right.
And that's a lot more reasonable on your pocketbook.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, if you're replacing one, then the exact brand and model works.
Right.
Especially now you might ask, well, what about tread depth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're at 3/4 tread depth, the physics of the situation, again, you have to go by what the manufacturer says. But the physics of the situation is the tire rolls a little bit different rate than its outside diameter.
Right.
So it's not totally driven by its outside diameter because the tire is smushed down flat on the road.
Right.
And in fact, it's the belts that determine that. So if you buy the exact same model and the tread depths are close, you're in good shape.
All right, well, Tom, stick with us. Tom Carter from Michelin. Plenty of other great information coming up on tires after the break on Cruise Control Radio. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. We will be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com.
I got a new car.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Got a real interesting conversation going. I mean, it's probably tires, Les, are probably one of the most ignored things on a car. And they're one of the most important things on the car. They shouldn't be ignored. So we're talking some tire tech with Tom Carter from Michelin. We're talking about what happens if you get a flat on one wheel on an all-wheel drive vehicle. A lot of people probably didn't think about it. You could potentially have to replace all your tires. Otherwise, you do a lot of other damage. But one thing we should talk about, Tom, we were saying about spring. Now, a lot of people have two sets of tires, especially if they're up here in the Northeast, where it snows, and then they switch to performance tires. And so let's talk a little bit about what is an all-weather tire, and then we'll talk about performance tires as they wear. So let's start out with what is an all-weather tire. You see M plus S, mud plus snow.
Right.
To me, that means a tire that's probably going to be pretty good all around for all year long.
Right. So I'm going to start with all season because mm-hmm. that most of the tires out there are all season tires.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of us out there drive on all-season tires. Even if you live in Florida, you mm-hmm. drive on all-season tires, which is interesting. But then there are tires that are only good for the summer, and I'll come back to those. And now there's a new class of tires, which is an all-weather tire.
Mm-hmm.
And the all-weather tires are really tires that are all-season tires, plus they're marked with a three-peak mountain snowflake marking, which means they're certified at a higher level for snow traction.
That is the famous three-peak mountain snowflake rating.
That's it. So if you're up there in the Northeast and you buy winter tires,
mm-hmm.
they will all have three-peak mountain snowflake on them.
Wow. And there'll
be a 3P MSF on there.
Now, let me ask, Tom, is So are these like the special tires that you would put on? They have the additional sipes in them and all that, that are great for winter, but they wear quickly? Like,
that's right. So they're great for winter. They're great for cold climates, and they're called winter tires. So really, winter in the tire industry is defined by precipitation of snow and sleet and ice, and by cold weather. So you could live up in North Dakota and not get much snow, for example, but you have a whole lot of cold, and you really need tires for that cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real important. The other thing that's important, of course, is to be able to maintain your mobility and traction in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those snow tires are designed with lots of sipes, lots of grooves, very soft compound that stays soft, tread that stays soft when it's very, very cold, and they will all have three peak mountain snowflake on them. They will not be recommended for summer use.
Okay.
And then all season tires are recommended for all year round, but in heavy winter, you will not have the same traction that you have with winter tires.
Right. But they're a good compromise.
Go ahead.
They're a good compromise to have on your vehicle year round. If you don't want to have, maybe you live in an apartment, you don't have an easy way to swap out tires and rims, you know.
Or if you really go out, you don't need to, you're not an emergency person, or you don't have to, maybe you're retired and you don't have to go out when there's really heavy snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can wait until the roads are plowed.
Mm-hmm.
So you need winter traction, but you don't need it at the level of a winter tire. So that's that case.
Gotcha.
Now, what has happened is in places like Quebec, they've legislated that people have to have three peak mountain snowflake on their tires during the winter months.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there are a number of people that want to be able to drive, and they want to be able to drive, like I say, maybe after the roads are plowed, but they feel like they don't need a full-on winter tire.
Right.
And they don't want to change.
Right.
So the tire industry has responded to that, and they've responded to that in Europe, and they've responded to that in Canada, and they've made tires that are three peak mountain snowflake, yet they recommend those tires for all four seasons.
Wow.
They say it's okay to use them for all four seasons. So of course, Michelin has the Cross Climate Plus, which is on a limited basis because it's relatively new. In Europe, it's full on
mm-hmm.
because there's much more of a demand. So the demand here in the United States is people saying, okay, well, I want a little bit more winter traction, but I don't want to change my tires.
Right.
And so the all-weather category applies to that. Goodyear, unfortunately, I'll give a shout out to Goodyear, has the Goodyear Weather Ready,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty large tire line that's all weather.
Right.
There are some compromises with that tire. But what the tire industry has learned is through the use of silica compounds, which everybody has now, and through the use of some other compounding, which I won't state, which some people have and some people don't have, we can actually make a tire that works pretty darn well in the winter and still works well in the summer.
Wow. And still has good wear. Not going to wear out quicker or anything like that. But it can,
right.
It can and live in both of those environments. That's pretty cool.
Can live in both of those environments and gives good, dry and wet. Wet is the real thing you need to look for. So, for instance, Consumer Reports, again, rated all-weather tires, and you'll see how they rated them. But the big thing you want to look for is make sure that not only is it good with three peak mountain snowflake, but it's good in the wet.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those all-weather tires are good in snow and good in wet. Some of them are good in snow but compromised in wet. You've got to be a little bit careful because the tire industry is learning how to do this at this point in time. And some people are better at it than others in doing it. But it's not like 40 years ago. You know, my dad put the old snow tires on there.
Those.
And
absolutely.
They were terrible in wet and summer. The all-season tires with the silica compounds are quite good in wet and competent in snow.
A lot of people don't realize that even with tire technology as good as it is, it's still possible to hydroplane. And with these torrential rains we seem to be getting these days, a lot of people are losing control when they really shouldn't be. So I know the industry is, you know, has made great strides in keeping water from lifting the tire and hydroplaning, but it can't be perfect.
That's correct. And so to make a tire that works well in wet, mm-hmm. of course you've got to have a good tread pattern that allows the water to be evacuated. But the other thing that you have to have is you have to have a contact patch. So in other words, how the tire contacts the road, mm-hmm. which is a little bit rounded. And the problem with that is managing the stresses in the contact patch so that you still get good wear. So that really takes a lot of technology. We have to do a finite element analysis on every single mold that we make for our tires, meaning that we have to look at how the tire is going to interact with the road to ensure one of the most important is wet. And we have to have a little bit of a rounded contact patch so that that water will evacuate around the tires very well to prevent hydroplaning, as you say, Les.
Tom Carter for Michelin. Boy, you could talk for a long time on tire tech. We appreciate it. We're going to have you back on because we're out of time on Cruise Control Radio. Time for me to say I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road.
Bye.
Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to cruisecontrolradio.com.